human resources and employment law tips and advice in association with the HRSuite.com.
Yeah, we've Caroline Reedy of the HR Suite with us on the line for our human resources slot. If you have any questions or queries, get them into us now on 066 712 3666. You can text or WhatsApp us on 083 300 3300. Caroline, good morning to you and thanks for joining us again this month.
A pleasure as always, Gerry. Good to talk to you.
Now, we're going to talk in a moment about, temporary contracts and fixed-term contracts and what people need to be aware of in terms of the way some employers organise things for their staff, particularly, I suppose, in hospitality and retail. But there's an issue that's come up now with the cost of living crisis and the ever-increasing levels of utility bills that people are having to pay. Employers are facing the same thing, of course, in their own workplaces. And like the state that will be announcing in a day or two details of, turning down the heat and grouping employees on the same floor and looking to save money. There's been calls for people who do work at home or work from home following the pandemic to get more money. You can get up to $320 per day without paying any tax, PRSI or USC from your employer to help with the cost. So that's an area probably that might be changing and people need to be aware of it, Caroline. Is that right?
Gerry, at the minute people get that allowance if their employer is paying something towards that working from home allowance. If their employer isn't, they can claim up to 30% of their bills. So bills like heating, electricity, internet, once they're for the working days that they're at home. So you need to do your calculation of how many days you've been at work, and then basically you can calculate that. So it is a nice, I suppose, additional benefit to do. And like many people, you forget the tax return to do at the end of the year, but that's one to be aware of. And I suppose for many now, we've landed at a hybrid. So people are working a couple of days in the office and a couple of days at home. But up to now, we haven't really needed to have the heating on. I know myself, I only put on the heating for the first time this week. And it was like, I was reluctant to do it for, yes, for no other reason other than admission that the summer may be over.
Yeah.
But we'll obviously start to notice as well, people's utility bills are increasing, and potentially that'll be a factor for employees to say, well, maybe I might go into the warm, cozy office. And even though we're being encouraged to keep the thermostat at 19 degrees, at least I'm not going to be paying the electricity bill or the heating bill that goes with that. So I think it's going to be a factor for people. I suppose the other big cost is the fuel cost of travelling in and out of work. So I think for a lot of people, there's a lot of factors to consider now as we come into this winter, with also the right to request remote working coming down the tracks as well. So a lot of people have a lot of thought to put into what's best for me to suit work-life balance, cost of living, etc. So challenging times. And I think you also mentioned rightly, Gerry, a lot of additional costs for businesses, like heating costs, rent rates. Everything seems to be going up at the one time, and unfortunately for a lot of businesses, it just won't be economic to keep going into 2023, which is a real concern.
No, it is a very big concern, and certainly for ones that might be able to survive it, may have to adjust the way they work or how many people are working in their office, depending on the industry they're in order to make some sort of savings along those lines, depending how long this goes on for. So all up in the air for a lot of people.
Absolutely. And I suppose, like, we all want, the cost of living to be addressed in the upcoming budget. And there's huge pressure for not alone money to be put back into individual pockets, which is essential. But also, and it needs to be money, it needs to be proper cash, and the same for businesses, because for a lot of them, cash flow is what ends up for a lot of businesses and individuals not being able to meet their actual outgoings is the real concern that we're facing this winter. And that's been, something that, has been coming down the tracks for a while. But I think for many, we didn't see that cliff edge, as extreme and as concerning until it's literally come upon us.
Yeah, indeed. Caroline, on another issue, it's just in here from a listener. I'm working until 70 years of age. If you're asked to retire at 66, but you'd rather work on, are you entitled to do that?
So fair play to that person to have the health and the want to be able to work on till 70. And in Ireland, we've no retirement age. All we have is a pension age. So whatever that pension age is when the old age pension payment kicks in. employers can put in a contractual retirement age into their contract, so whether that's 65, 66, 67. But if you decide you want to work past that, the employer is obliged to provide objective justification why they need you to retire. And things like, for example, succession. If people don't ever retire, no one has ever any opportunities for promotion. And things like the person being medically fit and able to do the job, particularly if it's a physical type of job. So for certain types of jobs, like those people working with animals, for example, or those people climbing poles, their retirement age is lower medically because,
yes,
again, from a health and safety perspective, that yeah. wouldn't be deemed the case. So for your listener, if you're fit and healthy, you need to go talk to your employer, confirm when you're thinking of staying on until, and then they need to objectively justify if they're saying they need you to retire. Because what some employers forget is retirement, if you're forcing somebody to retire, is a termination of employment. And there's been a lot of case law where employers have handled that very badly, and as a result, employees have been successful in taking claims. And the final point to note is, like, a year in advance of whatever that contractual retirement age is the time to start that conversation, not a couple of weeks before
yeah.
somebody's 65th or 66th birthday.
Yeah, stitch in time saves nine in that conversation, both from the employer's point of view and the employee's point of view as well. Okay, if you have a view or questions for Caroline Reedy of the HR Suite, get him into us now. We'll have more on our HR slot after we take these.
Human Resources and Employment Law Tips and Advice in association with the HRSuite.com.
Yes, we're talking with Caroline Reedy of the HR Suite. If you have any questions or queries, get them into us now. Caroline, we wanted to talk as well about something that's been a developing situation in human resources over the last number of years, over the last 10 years or so. It was talk of the gig economy for a while, you know, fixed hours contracts, fixed term contracts. There's elements of hospitality and retail which have situations whereby, you know, you have to be on call effectively. Where is that whole area now? I know legislation has been racing to catch up with it as well.
So I suppose we've another new piece of legislation again coming. As you know, Gerry, 99% of our legislation comes from Europe. It's transposed into Irish law from European directives. And there's another new piece coming later this year. It's supposed to be already implemented in Ireland, but it isn't commenced yet, which basically means that employees can work in multiple jobs, first of all, and can't be victimised as a result of it. And second of all, that they need to get their rosters in a timely manner in advance. So when we see how Irish law transposes that, that'll be another protection for people so that they know what their roster is. I suppose we ultimately also have protections already in relation to banded hours. So it isn't good enough to have people unsure of what hours they're going to be working. They need to have a band of hours and they need to be aware of what that band is. And that's, I suppose, a key element of ensuring that people haven't precarious work and they can plan their bills and their income. So we're getting more and more focused on giving people certainty of hours and certainty of income. And all of the legislation starting back from May 1994, when they started introducing contracts of employment, all the way through to current day, as you said, the evolution is very much about ensuring people know, what am I being paid for? What are my hours? What are my entitlements? And that's why, I suppose, that contract of employment that everybody gets and they're obliged to get within 5 days of starting initially, and then subsequently a more detailed contract after that, is just so important for everybody to ensure everybody's clear on obligations and obviously entitlements as well.
Yeah, and it is very important that you pay attention to that contract, because on one hand, you can see some employers who came up with these ideas to say, look, I need to get around the issue of labour costs. When I'm not busy, I don't want staff on. But then there's the whole right situation of the right to a job, the right to certainty of hours, because it forces people into an unenviable position of always being on call, not being able to organise the rest of their lives, not being able to work anywhere else. and not being able to get a decent wage at the bottom of it in some scenarios.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose we're in an environment now that it is an employee market. You know, there's lots of jobs out there. It's really hard still to get great talent. You know, we're coming out, I suppose, of the seasonal, you know, phase for many, but there's still lots of employers looking for good people. So we're in an environment where that if we don't reward people fairly and we don't treat people well, then your employees have choice as to where to go, and you know, making sure they have fair terms and conditions, they have a timely roster, they're all basics now that we need to put in place so that we are proactively managing our HR, so that we are retaining and attracting staff in a positive way.
Yeah, and that is the key thing in relation to it, and the treatment of it has to be held to it very delicately, and that legislation, we'll have to keep an eye out for it and see the detail of it as it does come in. When do you expect it will be in?
There's a stack of legislation in relation to employment law now waiting to be commenced. So we also have the statutory sick pay, and that isn't yet commenced, even though it's been signed by the President. We're just waiting for a commencement order. So there is quite a long list of employment legislation, and obviously we'll keep you and your listeners up to date in these monthly slots once they do come in. And again, remember, it's also the employer's obligation that when new entitlements like that sick pay, for example, that's coming, you know, comes about, that they are obliged to update their contracts and update their handbook and to ensure that employees are aware of the fact that now they have this additional entitlement. Because, for example, with the sick pay, in year one, they get 3 days sick pay, up to an amount, you know, depending on what people are working. But for many, not having sick pay is a really big worry when somebody's genuinely sick and not available to go to work. So now we're going to have 3 days sick pay, three individual days or three consecutive days once they're certified by a doctor. So there is, I suppose, positives in terms of, you know, that clarity so people know where they stand and also know what I need to do to get those entitlements as well.
Okay, if you're unhappy with what's happening along those lines, if your contract is being changed, you know, what are your options in terms of getting resolution? It starts internally, I know, Caroline, but if you're not happy with
Absolutely.
That, where do you go then? What's the process?
Yeah, like I suppose for employees always, you know, like we, psychic communication and psychic management, we always say it doesn't work. In other words, somebody thinks that they're entitled to something or vice versa. It'll always come back to what does it say in your contract. So as an employee or an employer, your first port of call is always to go back and say, okay, what was clearly agreed here in this contractual agreement between us? And, you know, somebody out there now might be saying, well, actually, I never got a contract, or I don't have a contract. And we're talking today about how important that is.
Yeah.
I would go ask your employer straight away, can you get a copy of your contract and your handbook if you don't have one already? And ultimately, when people exhaust the internal procedures, which you're obliged to do, and it's always the best option to do, then you have the option of going to the Workplace Relations Commission. But I would agree with you, Gerry, it's always, the first option is always try and resolve it internally, because most things are resolved internally once clarity is brought in relation to the issue or the matter.
Okay, all right, Caroline, listen, we're going to leave it there. Thanks a million for another great slot, the HR slot with Caroline Reedy there of the HR Suite. If you have any queries or questions, we'll pass the ones on we didn't get a chance to get to today till next month. Get them into us on any of our numbers or email kerry today at radiokerry.ie, and we'll have answers for you next time round.